Hey, something I did forget to mention is Pastor Ron in the last 4 days have fed 10,000 people a day out of their parking lot. So just pray for that. Pray that God would continue to use that ministry. There's a ministry that came in their parking lot called Mercy Chefs, not Mercy Ships, but Mercy Chefs, set up, and men are feeding people like crazy. So keep praying for them. So Acts chapter 15, we're going to call this disunity in the midst of great unity. And we'll kind of emphasize and get into that. But it's one of those messages that just pricked my heart personally. And maybe I need to hear it like a whole bunch, and that's why I'm teaching it, is that I can get my life together. But as we do this, I got to go back a little bit to introduce all of the characters, because, you know, some of you may not be familiar with Acts, may not be familiar with the characters. How many of you were here a little while back when we did the two-part study? I was here on a weekend, and then Wednesday, and we did the two parts on Saul. Remember? Okay, some of you were here. Those who weren't, we're going to catch up, all right? So listen, there's this guy named Saul who hated the church, persecuted the church. This is Acts chapter 9. For homework, you can read from 9 to 15 or from 9 to the end of the Acts. So Acts chapter 9, this guy's persecuting the church, killing Christians, and he gets saved. What an amazing thing. We're not going to go into his whole salvation, but he gets saved, and then he decides to go to Jerusalem and go to church. That would be like a major ISIS guy, right, coming and sitting next to you this morning. It'd be a little uncomfortable, right? Hi, God bless. I came to church today. Left my hatchet outside, but it's close. I mean, that would be a little freaky, right? And they got a little bit uptight, and they got scared, and so they were kind of treating him at arm's distance and keeping him away. And then along came this guy named Barnabas, our other character, right? We got Paul. Along came Barnabas, and Barnabas is going, "You having a hard time in church? Yeah, those guys don't like me. Well, come on, come to church with me, man. They love me, right?" So Barnabas took him to church and kind of got the relationship, got him built in there, and that started a tremendous relationship between this guy named Barnabas and this guy named Paul. And then Paul takes off, and Paul goes to Tarsus and hangs out there. That was his home turf. And now we're going to fast forward, go to Acts chapter 11. In Acts chapter 11, we find out the church in Antioch, Syria, which is north of Israel, right? Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." Well, it's starting to go out a little bit, and it got all the way up to Antioch. The church there exploded. Man, it is just going nuts. And as it's growing and exploding, they send Barnabas from Jerusalem to go check it out. Barnabas looks around and goes, "Dude, we got to go get Paul." He goes to Tarsus, brings Paul up there, and then it explodes even more. It became, you know, a mega church. You know, it's kind of interesting today. We have mega churches. Calvary Tucson's a mega church, right? And we kind of sometimes think how cool that is. I think all of the churches were mega churches, right? They had thousands of people coming. And by the way, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have, you know, online stuff. They didn't have video. They didn't have speakers. Think about church with thousands without all of the stuff we have today. And so they're doing church, and Paul and Barnabas, man, are there together doing church together. And I think it had to be some of the happiest years of their life. And then Acts chapter 13 tells us that the Lord said to the church in Antioch, "Set apart for me Paul and Barnabas to the work for which I've called them to do." And they prayed for them. Now they're going to send them out to the uttermost parts of the world. They're going to go out and spread the gospel. Exciting times, right? So we're seeing some great stuff going on. As they got ready to go, Barnabas said, "Hey, I want to take this guy named John Mark with me." John Mark, by the way, he had a little bit of interaction with people. Remember, his mom's name's Mary, and they were praying in Mary's house when Peter was in prison. You guys remember when Pete was in prison? Some of you know. Yeah, Peter was in prison, right? And they're at Mary's house, and that's where John Mark, that was his mom. They're praying for Peter to get out of prison. He gets out of prison, knocks on the door. They slam the door on him. "You can't be out of prison." It's like, what were you just praying for, right? So listen, that's John Mark. By the way, I may forget to tell you because we're going to go fast. This is a guy who wrote the Gospel of Mark, right? So he goes with them. They take off. They go on that first missionary journey, go across Cyprus, which is Barney's home turf. They go across the island of Cyprus, come back to the mainland. They get to Pamphylia. At Pamphylia, Mark goes, I'm done with this missionary stuff. I'm assuming. Sounds like it wasn't a good departure. And they take off. John Mark goes back to Jerusalem or back to Antioch. Paul and Barnabas go through that missionary journey. It was an incredible. I love reading about that missionary journey. They end up, they go to Lystra, they go to Derbe. In Derbe, Paul gets stoned, biblically speaking, not Bisbee speaking, right? You know, he gets stoned. Hey, I minister to people from Bisbee, and I got to explain that stuff. That, you know, you tell them Paul got stoned, and they're going, I'm in, man. I'm all for it. Yeah, let's do this. So listen, stoned, hit with rocks, right? So listen, Paul gets stoned. They continue on. Now, listen, they come back. They report in Antioch at the end of Acts chapter 14. They let all the church in Antioch know what's going on. And then right after that, at the beginning of Acts chapter 15, is when some Judaizers come in. And they tell the church, hey, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus. You have to be circumcised to get saved. And Paul goes, excuse me? You say what? And they had a conversation. And here's the thing about legalists. Legalists are never happy with just adding one thing. If you read later on, they have that discussion with Paul. And they go, oh, you must be circumcised and keep the whole law. Like that's going to happen, right? Do you know how many laws there are? 613. We can't even keep track of the top 10, right? We have a hard time with those, much less 600. How are you going to keep track of 613 laws, right? I don't know what they are. I don't know them all. I know one. There's one that I've never broken, I never will break. It's a law that says, do not eat roadkill. I mean, it doesn't say it that way, but that's what it says. You know, don't eat an animal you find dead. That's roadkill to me, right? I'm not going to, you know what? I don't drive down a road and see a roadkill and go, man, I'm so tempted. Fight that temptation. I just drive by it, right? So that's kind of a good one. That's one. So now I got 612 to worry about. You know, I got one down. So listen, so they're telling they have to keep the whole law. Paul and Barnabas go, ain't no way, man. You're not going to preach that in our church. Let's go to Jerusalem and let's settle this once and for all. This is the first church council. Listen carefully. The church is coming together to decide, what does it take to be saved? I'm excited, huh? And here's what they come up with. The blood of Jesus, period. Period. Hey, man, that's unifying. Are you with me? Man, the church gets unified over this. Here's what we've decided. It's the blood of Jesus, period. And man, now you got, and that's where now we're going to come in. They get that message. Now they're going back to Antioch to deliver the message. So all of that was like background. We're caught up. Those of you who fell asleep, wake back up. So we're going to kind of get into this. In verse 30, it says, so when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter, and when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. They rejoiced. Listen, man, when they brought this letter back, it's like, woo, yes! We don't have to worry about that stuff. Listen, all we got to do is believe in a yes. I think they were even dancing. Some of you go, dancing? I don't know if that's good. Can Christians dance? Some can, some can't. It just depends, right? Listen, man. And you get a, listen, they're excited about it. You read this and you're going, yes. And the church is unified. I'm going to bring that up a whole bunch. They're unified. They came together. They decided this is what we're going to do. It had to be one of the greatest times in church history. Do you understand this could have been a major separation of the church? The church could have had the church of circumcision and the church of non-circumcision. But man, they made this decision. I'm excited. You guys excited? Yes, it's good. And then listen, we get a little bit more. The two guys came with them. It tells us in verse 32, now Judas and Silas, listen, Judas and Silas were from Jerusalem, not the bad Judas, the okay Judas. They're from Jerusalem. They came with Paul and Barnabas, and it says, listen, they were there, they themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. Listen, man, they were there, they're encouraging the church, and they're telling the church, man, this is a good thing. We're doing good. And then it tells us that then they got ready to leave. Listen, they're there. And it says, after they had stayed there in verse 33 for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So here's what's happening. The two guys came from Jerusalem. They're sharing. They're part of it. And then they go, hey, you guys, just go on home. And when you get to Jerusalem, give them our greetings, man. Everything's cool. Everything's great. So they get ready to leave, and I believe they took off and went for a ways, but then verse 34. Some of your translations do not have verse 34. I think it belongs. Obviously, some scholars do not think it belongs. They say it's a gloss over because they say in 33 they were sent, and then in 34 says this, however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. And they're going, how can they be sent, and then it seemed good to Silas to stay there? Have you ever changed your mind? Have you ever gone so far and turned around and gone back? Any of you ever do that? It's not that. Now listen, it's not that crazy to me. Yeah, hey, sometimes you get ready to go on a trip and it doesn't work out and you just go home. I remember when Pastor Ron Hint's wife went to be with the Lord. And I was going to fly out of, I finished our services in Sierra Vista, drove up to Tucson. I was going to fly out to go be with him on that Monday. I got to the airport in Tucson, got even to the gate, and they go, oh, your flight's not going to take off because it snowed in Denver. I'm going, but I'm in Tucson. I don't care what it's doing in Denver. And they go, but you're going through Denver. It's not going to happen. I go, listen, I have to get to Houston tonight. They go, we can't get you to Houston till 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I said, that's too late. Funeral's going to be in the morning. So I turned around and stayed in my own bed. Are you kind of getting my story? You see what I'm talking about? I left for Houston and slept in my own bed. So I don't think 34 is that hard to figure out. So again, some people say it doesn't belong. I think it does. Here's what I think happened. I think Silas and Judas went so far, and then you're going to find out in a little bit, Silas is there. So we got to find out how come he's still there, because he's there with Paul. He turned around and came back. Here's what I think Silas told Judas. Hey, bro, you go, but I'm going to stay here, man, because I really feel called to the church in Antioch. I'm loving these guys. I'm loving what's going on. So I think he turned around and came back. Then, listen, then we have verse 35. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So now, listen, don't read on. You got to read the verses I tell you. Look up. Come on. Stay with me. You're going to spoil the surprise. Don't like it when people read when I'm talking. This is my time. So listen, man, now you got this whole thing happening. I think this went on for years. You know, I get so encouraged. Paul and Barnabas are there together. Man, they're teaching the church together. You know, I love your pastor. He's a close friend of mine. You know, I think he is. I don't know what he tells you guys about me. Probably weird stuff. But, you know, I tell people he's a close friend. I've never understood why he doesn't walk down the street with me when we're traveling. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But listen, Robert's a close friend. But you know what I even enjoy more than our friendship is when Robert and I can minister together, side by side. That's a blessing, man. You're affecting the church and affecting. And I just look at Paul and Barnabas and I'm going, yes, yes. A time of unity, man. A time of growth. The church is together. Woo! Right? And now we got to read on, because it doesn't stay that way. Don't go ahead. One verse at a time, verse 36. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. Paul said, let's go check out the churches. Now, a couple things I notice about this. One, in Acts chapter 13, it said, the Lord said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas. Here it says, Paul said. It's not recorded that they prayed even. Now, I'm not saying they didn't, but it's kind of makes me a little suspicious. Was this a Paul idea? And then for Paul to go back to those cities, let me ask you guys something. Would you go back to a city that stoned you? Seriously, I mean, I'm thinking, you guys hit me with rocks. I'm not coming. You get somebody else to go to that city, man. But listen, he's telling, this was his heart, man. This guy had such a heart for people. Let's go back, man, for the church. Let's go back and build up the church, strengthen the church. So that's kind of exciting, right? So here's the deal. Let's do this. Barnabas says, great idea, right? He's excited. Woo, let's go, Paul. Verse 37, Barnabas said, and Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. Determined. This means, listen, in the original language, it's like, we're taking Mark, period. kind of dug in, stubborn, emphatic. You know, again, in the original language, it's worded in such a way it was continual. You ever been around a stubborn person? No elbowing, but ever been around a stubborn person? Yeah, man, he's dug in. Here's what we're doing. Now, look at the other side. The other side is verse 38, but Paul insisted, kind of same tense, same way written, Paul insisted that they should not take with them one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Wow. Wow. We have a major disagreement going on here, don't we? You got two guys. Listen, do you know what a disagreement is? A disagreement is a situation with two different viewpoints. That's all it is. Listen, and they happen, don't they? Yeah, disagreements, they just are, right? You know, one of your pastor's favorite sayings, at least around me, is if we agree on everything, one of us isn't thinking. You ever say that from the pulpit? Did he ever tell you guys that? No, he tell. It must be my bad. Listen, but here's what I know. I know the saying, and he forgets that I know the saying. And so here's what he says. If we agree on everything, one of us isn't thinking. Now, he wants to finish it, but I jump in and finish it for him. And here's what I tell him. And I know I am. Yeah, see, that's what he... Listen, hey, disagreements happen because we're thinking people, right? We're different. And we need to understand that disagreements just are. Doesn't mean they're wrong. Doesn't mean they're horrible. You've got a situation, and you got different viewpoints about that situation. How do you resolve disagreements? Listen carefully. By having conversations. You got to have conversations. Listen, I didn't say, you know, you talk at each other. You have a conversation. Do you understand that disagreements happen because we're different? Hey, we look at each other and we look different. Do you know we're all wired differently? We're put together, we think differently. We're not all the same. We don't all see every situation through the same lens. We have a whole different perspective of what's going on. I think Paul was heavily influenced by, and I'll talk about some other things, but maybe in this specific situation, maybe there was a proverb that came to mind. Listen to this proverb. Maybe this is what, because remember, he was a Pharisee, right? A rabbi, he knew the word. Proverbs 25:19 says this, like a bad tooth or a lame foot is reliance on the unfaithful in times of trouble. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. The Living Bible says this, putting confidence in an unreliable man is like chewing with a sore tooth or trying to run on a broken foot. So listen, man, you got these guys, and that's Paul's viewpoint. Now, I want to back off for a minute. I want to take some time here, and I want us to think about these two men and their characteristics, their characters, who they were, the way they were wired. And we can get that from reading Scripture, from looking and looking at their history. Number one, listen, as we look at Barnabas, number one, we see very clearly Barnabas is people-oriented, right? And he's the guy who went and rescued Paul. He's the guy that brought offerings, remember, in the church of Jerusalem and taking care of them. He's concerned about John Mark here. We see this guy's people-oriented, where Paul was not so much people-oriented as much as he was task-oriented. He wanted to get the job done. You know, there's people in my life that are task-oriented, drive me crazy. And just, let's get it done. And some of them are so task-oriented. All they care about is the task. They don't care about how they get there. They don't care about, just get it done. And I'm thinking, why don't we back off? We just ran over 15 people. It's all right. Somebody will pick them up. That's that other guy's, all right? And so listen, that's Paul. He's kind of task-oriented. Barnabas was a man of compassion and care. Paul, he's a man of conviction, huh? And praise God. Right? He stood on things. He stayed there. Barnabas was a builder of men. Paul was a planter of churches. So now listen, keep that in mind when you think about it. They're different. They view things differently. If you're married, you probably are married to someone who doesn't think identical to you. My wife and I are like almost polar opposites in some area. We've been married 47 years. So listen, we kind of have it together, I think. I feel like we do. Don't talk to her. But listen. But my wife is an extreme introvert. And I'm an extrovert, man. I'm talking to people. I'm doing stuff. Last night when we got here to the church, man, you know, I'm talking to people and I'm visiting and I look over and she's sitting off to the side reading her Bible. I'm thinking, why are you so spiritual? I'm like having them talking and you're over there reading your Bible. You know, there she, but listen, we're different. And that kind of makes a couple, right? But here's the important thing. You got to understand the difference. And you got to look at it. If you're not willing to understand that, you're not going to get along. And it's not going to happen. So I see these two guys are different. So looking at their characteristics, let's kind of get Paul Barnabas's viewpoint, right? Same situation, different viewpoints. Here's Barnabas. I know, listen, he's firmly planted. We're taking Mark. Why? Mark needs encouragement, even though he failed last time. Let's pick him up. Let's do this. Let's encourage this guy. And you know what? God can still use him. Paul's viewpoint is, hey, the guy's unreliable. He bailed on us last time. He's somebody he's going to break under fire. I just don't want to take him. Paul's looking at the overall good of the ministry. Barnabas is looking at the overall good of the man. So we kind of have that viewpoint. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together a sort of conversation. Starts out as a conversation, then turns into talking at one another or even past one another, because that's what happens to a lot of us. We said we're going to have a conversation, but we're not really interested in having a conversation. We're interested in winning the argument. Or we're interested in bringing that person to our viewpoint. So look at, here we go. Paul telling Barnabas, hey, we can't take him with us. He failed us last time. Barnabas' response to that would be, hey, you know what? That was last time, Paul, not this time. And Paul would say, man, he's going to fail us again. We can't trust a deserter. And Barnabas going, man, come on. He's had time to think it over. He's worked through that situation. He's thought about it. Isn't God the God of second chances? Huh? Amen for us, right? Most of everybody in here, you know he's the God of second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances, all of that, right? And of all the people should know, shouldn't it be Paul, the guy who killed Christians? He should know that. And I'm thinking, Barney's like, come on, bro. Why are you doing that? And then Paul's response to him would be, oh, come on, Barney. Well, they were close. He called it, you know, they had nicknames. Come on, Barney. Isn't it really because he's your cousin? Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Mark was Barney's cousin. Hey, is it because you're cutting a little nepotism there? And Paul, and then Barney would respond, dude, don't you pull that on me. Who was there with you in Jerusalem, right? Who was standing beside you? You ain't my cousin. And I was right there next to you. So let's don't do the cousin thing. And then here's what happens. So now we're on defense, right? Now we've kind of escalated into the thing where we're going to talk past one another because we're going to prove our point. And a little sword fighting doesn't hurt. By sword fighting, I mean Bible, right? Let's bring up some scriptures. You ever do that with your spouse? Let's bring up some scriptures. So listen. Here's Paul. Hey, we need someone that can stand up to persecution. We need somebody. We're going to run into angry mobs, beatings, maybe even stoned again. Maybe even we're going to be put in prison, which if you read ahead, they were. And he goes, our team has to be close-knit, reliable. We got to be trustworthy, Barnabas. And didn't our master say, if anyone puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God? Barney's going, oh, dude, that was slow. Right? And he's going, come on, man, Paul, but what about, listen, Paul, he was a failure, but he's not going to do it again. I've talked with him. I've had a conversation with him. And didn't our master also say that, listen, when you hurt somebody, when you pound on them when they're down, it's like breaking a bruised reed or putting out a smoking flax. Remember Jesus talking about that? We got to be careful with hearts. And so that's what they're doing. And I'm thinking, come on, guys. And then I read this verse. This verse, I got to be honest, man. It's like breaks my heart. I want it to change. I'm teaching this four times a day. I want it to change every time. Verse 39 says, the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Seriously? Seriously? They parted from... Really? Are you guys shocked? You're going, no, man, I read it like 10 minutes ago. Aren't you shocked? Listen, doesn't it break your heart? Don't you get a little bit of a tear? Come on. These are two giants of the faith. And here's what happened. They're so, so, strung out on this thing. It's not doctrinal. It's not ethical. It's not moral. It's not biblical. They're strung out on something that really just doesn't even matter. And in the midst of the greatest unity of the church coming together, two giants of the faith walk away from each other. Why? What did you do that for? Well, because he's a jerk. You know what? I can't imagine ever parting and walking away from your pastor. I don't care how mad he makes me. I can't ever imagine doing that. And I hope he feels the same. I can't imagine just saying, sorry, Robert, you're an idiot, bye. Like I said, we don't agree on everything, but I would never do. I'm brokenhearted, man. Here's what I'm thinking. What? How different would have this read if they would have worked things out? But they parted from one. They're gone. They severed their relationship over something this minor. Not good. Not good, saints. I read my Bible, and I read through the Bible every year. Every year I get to this, I want it to change. Come on, I want to read this. I want to read, and Paul and Barnabas worked it out, and they sailed off with Mark, and they did ministry, and then I don't know how the rest of the book of Acts would read. But it'd be crazy good. They're gone. Listen to what a couple commentators said. One commentator said this. He says, listen, one's judgment may go with Paul, but one's heart goes with Barnabas. And another one said this. This is the one I like the most. Another one said, Paul and Barnabas parted in anger, but both in sorrow. Paul owed more to Barnabas than any other man. Barnabas was leaving the greatest spirit of all time. You get how intense this is? This is huge. This isn't just a verse in the Bible that they parted. This is like explosion. And when did it happen? When the church was the most unified. It breaks my heart. So it tells us, listen what happens. So Barnabas, in the middle of verse 39, and so Barnabas took Mark and he sailed off to Cyprus. I'm going to go to Cyprus. You go wherever you want, dude. I'm going to Cyprus. Don't you get that out? You guys ever talk to people like that? Sure you do. You're not going to nod yes because you're pious and you're a hypocrite. But sure we do to people. We get mad. Go then. I'm going this way. Sometimes you slam doors in your house, don't you? So listen, he goes, and then it tells us, but Paul, he chose Silas, and he departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God, and he sailed through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So listen, Paul, he takes Silas. You need to know something. Silas did not replace Mark. Silas replaced Barnabas. Ouch. That really hurts. Once again, I like using the illustration that Pastor Robert and I have. In my life, our friendship, there's not a replacement for him. We're too close. I don't have a Silas that I can just stick in there and say, sorry, you just go. So I read this and I go, come on. I get a little teary. I've taught this three times now. I get a tear right here and I'm going, no, this can't be happening. Couldn't one of them listen? Couldn't have Paul said, okay, Barney, look, here's what we can do. Why don't we give Mark some kind of task here while we're here in Antioch? Let's give him a task. Let's watch him. Let's see if he's faithful with it, follows through with it. And if he does, then we'll take him with us. Or couldn't have Barnabas said, come on, let's just take Mark and let's take Silas too. And hey, if Mark bails, we got Silas. But neither one of them are giving in. I'm just like brokenhearted. I'm thinking, come on. And yet I think as a church, we kind of read it casually. Now here's the application. Some of you are going, what does this have to do with me? Here's what this has to do with you. Some of you need to go have a conversation. And you need to go have a conversation. When I get to this part, it gets real quiet. You need to go have that conversation with somebody. Or maybe somebody's. And you need to have the faith to do it. Our God is a God of restoration. Our God is a God of relationship. That's the only thing that matters, saints. And listen to my heart. If you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, as the Church of Jesus Christ, are not willing to have conversations, why would we expect the world to do it? You and I are influencers of the world. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe if the church would rise up and be the church and have the conversation, this goes for Paul and Barnabas, I hope they're listening, and be the church and restore relationships, make things right, quit bickering and fighting over things. Listen, I'm not telling you to compromise. But I am telling you to compromise. But I'm not telling you to compromise doctrine or ethics or morals or biblically. I'm asking you to compromise your stubbornness. And listen, you may have to give in. So what? Have you ever walked up to somebody and apologized for something where you were completely right? You had every right to do what you did and you're completely right. Have you ever gone up to somebody and said, hey, I'm sorry because it hurt them? Some of you go, no, that'll never happen in my life. Try it. It's freeing. You're set free. My Bible says, as much as it depends on us, we're to live at peace with all men. Not as much as it depends on them, us. So you and I, here's my challenge, man. And you know what? Jesus will give you the faith to do it. I know it's scary. Hey, I understand that. I'm telling you to do this. It's a freaky thing to do. It's hard to do that, especially if it's a difficult relationship, especially if it's a close relationship. But you know what? Rise up, church, and let's do this. And you know what's going to happen? I think our world will begin to change. America needs to start having conversations. We need to quit the bickering and the fighting and the finger pointing and the yelling and have conversations as we look at different situations and understand we have different viewpoints and work through that. So, church, it's your job. And I'm part of it. I'm not excluding myself. I'm not pretending to stand up here and go, check me out, man. Every relationship I have is perfect.
Like your hole in one, huh?
Yeah. Thank you. But back to this. Come on. That's called diversion. That's that diversion thing. Where, hey, it got too serious. Let's go into something else. Let's do this. Can we make a deal? Let's do it, huh? I'm going to do it. Are you going to do it? You going to make it happen? Let's do it, man. Let's change the world. And who knows, maybe Paul and Barney will have that conversation. By the way, they did. If you read Paul's letters, four different times he mentions Barnabas as a co-laborer. They got back together. But how many years were wasted, right? But they got back together. Oh, also, at the end of his life, he says, make sure John Mark is with you because he's been such a help to my ministry and such a great co-laborer. And I think I told you already, right? And then he wrote the Gospel of Mark. So things did get restored, but it took a while. It shouldn't take a while. Let's not let those things happen, huh? So today, maybe even this morning, maybe as spouses you had, let's un-kapoo it, huh? I don't know how you reverse that, but let's reverse that and make that happen, all right? Let's stand up and pray. Lord, as we do think about what we just looked at, and Lord, the situation, God, I do pray. I pray for us, God, and I ask that, Lord, we would by faith believe that you're going to go before us in those situations. I know we sang that one song, and my favorite line in that song is that, God, you didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven down to us. My understanding of that was, God, you're willing to do anything to restore a relationship, even die on a cross, give your son. How incredible that is. And so, Jesus, I pray we would look at that, and then we would realize that, man, our situation is nothing compared to that. And we would trust you for the anointing, we'd trust you for the courage, we'd trust you for the faith, and we would go and we would take care of that situation in our life. And we'd reach out to those individuals or that individual. And Lord, we would make it right. And we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. Lord, be glorified in our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, go have that conversation. Maybe you're here today and you've not given your heart to Jesus. You know what, man? You have time to do it. I'm going to challenge you, either come up front, see one of the pastors, let them know I want to know Jesus, or go to the prayer room. And listen, those guys can introduce you to Jesus. It doesn't always have to come from the pulpit. So I'm going to challenge you. If you do not have that relationship, that's the first one you need to get restored. And so take care of that. Let somebody know that today you want to start that relationship. And the rest of us, let's go fix those, huh? Let's go out and do it, and let's be bold as we do it. God bless you guys. Thank you for letting me come.